Welcome to the Planet Football Podcast. I'm Grant Wall, and our guest today is a good one. Mike Piazza is a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame and the all-time home run leader among catchers in Major League Baseball history. But for our purposes, he also became the owner in June of Reggiana, currently in the third tier of Italian soccer. Thanks for joining me, Mike.
Grant, it's a pleasure. I'm a huge fan of your work, so this is very excited to be talking with you.
Well, I'm psyched to talk to you, and I want to start with a story of the last time I saw you in person, actually, was at the Sao Paulo airport at World Cup 2014, when you were just sitting having a coffee and in the airport, and I assume following Italy. Were you on your way to an Italy game?
Yeah, I was on my way to Manaus, actually, which was very interesting. I was traveling with a friend of mine, and we watched the first game, Brazil-Croatia, which is a really great game, then went to Manaus, and then from Manaus, connected back through Mexico to get home. But it was definitely a lot of fun, and Brazil was a very interesting country, and obviously a lot of passion for football, soccer. So it was, there's one of those bucket list things to watch a World Cup game in Brazil. So I just jumped on the plane and it was crazy fun.
So what is your personal history with the sport of soccer?
Yeah, well, I grew up in Philadelphia area, Grant, and it was kind of one of those things. As a kid, I played it soccer a little bit. And that was just when that sort of the original North American Soccer League was, I would say, probably at its height in the 70s, obviously with Pele, but the team in Philly was called the Fury. Mm-hmm. And my dad actually took me down to a few games. And, don't ask me about one player. I can't remember one player played for the Fury. But in essence, they played the Cosmos, and I think there was something like 20,000 people there to watch Pele, and he actually couldn't play because he was hurt that night.
Oh, no.
But he actually came out and waved, and signed some autographs and stuff. So as you well know, the history of soccer in the States is a very interesting one and very colorful. And that then transferred to the indoor league.
Huh.
And the team in Philly was called the Fever.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I was just like a crazy fan of the Philadelphia Fever. I had the T-shirts and stuff, and the indoor game on the hockey arena was a different type of game. But still,
right.
It was just something I was always fascinated with. And obviously, baseball was my first, passion and love. But, as kids now, we played all sports. I mean, today kids are so specialized into one sport, but in the fall we played football, we played soccer, I played golf, I played basketball, and in the spring we played baseball. So that's why I think it was so cool for me, because I didn't have any skills per se, but I always loved the game and the world impact of it. And watched Italy win the World Cup. I think it was in 82. I was down in the Jersey Shore and saw the Italian Americans were wearing their World Cup, Italy Campione del Mundo shirt. So it was, so I have a long, history of love for soccer.
And I read this, I wanted to make sure that this was true, that your family in previous generations had background in Sicily and that you grew up as sort of a Palermo fan?
Yeah, when I retired from the game in 2006, my father is from Sicily, his family's from Sicily, and I just always, again, because being Sicilian and going, after I retired, I took a job with the Italian national baseball team. Mm-hmm. I had actually played for Italy in the first World Classic baseball tournament, mm-hmm. for international tournament in spring training in 2006. And when I retired, they asked me to help them, grow the game in Italy, and started going back and forth to Italy through a few times during the year. And being Sicilian of descent, I just kind of gravitated towards Palermo and started watching them, following them, and was a huge fan of Fabrizio Micoli,
mm-hmm.
because he's such a spark plug player, kind of an underdog type of guy. So and after that, becoming more versed with the history of the game, and watching, obviously following the history of the game and doing a lot of reading, became just a massive fan of Italian soccer.
Mm-hmm. Nice. At what point, I guess, did you say to yourself, I want to own an Italian soccer team. Why did you want to do this?
I'm still asking that question, to be honest with you. But, you know, it happened very organically. You know, a few years ago, I started a small media rights company, and I just invested some seed money to kind of see if I can get into the media rights business of soccer and rugby, and realizing that you're going up against the Foxes and the British telecoms and whatnot. I realized that would probably not develop as a business, but in that process found out, you know, certain clubs in Europe that were for sale and, looked at England, and obviously that's the top of the food chain, the Premier League and the Championship League. And, you know, went out to some investors, and the biggest questions that I got were, well, what do you know about running a soccer team? And, you know, this is a lot of money you're talking about to try to organize a group to purchase one of these teams, especially in England. So I said, you know what, they make a good point. And I wanted to really explore club ownership eventually in my life, and, knew that I had to learn the business, and met some really amazing people in Italy that were able to help me, you know, find this opportunity.
Okay. And how did the process actually end up happening? Like, the, you know, in June, you took over this club, Reggiana. Why Reggiana?
Well, I had a couple of investment groups come after me as far as looking at the Parma bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. You know, the history of Parma as being a storied club, actually having a couple of European Cups. Mm-hmm. And they went through a catastrophic bankruptcy a few years ago.
Right.
And, you know, the ex-owners on trial for embezzlement and corruption. And because I think when we looked at the books, there was something over 100 million euro that were pulled from the club.
Wow.
And it, you know, was a disaster. But there was some parachute money that they were going to get from the league, and there was some other players that had some value that we were trying to string together a possible rescue. And it didn't make it couldn't happen. It just didn't really make any sense in the long run. But in the short term, I realized there was a club right next to Parma called Reggiana that had a history in Serie A. The last year was 1997. That team eventually went bankrupt, and several owners eventually tried to bring that club back as well. And I was introduced. I have my associate general manager now is a guy by the name of Maurizio Franzoni, and he introduced me to the owner. We talked and eventually consummated a deal.
Okay. And so you're over there for the announcement. I'm sure you're excited, but what faced you? What were the challenges of becoming an owner of this team?
Well, as you know, it's a different business model. I mean, you have the promotion relegation system in Europe in these leagues. And so I knew the team hadn't been in Serie A in a long time. They hadn't been in Serie B since, I think, 2002.
Okay.
And I realized, again, the thing that I looked at is we have an amazing amount of fan support. I mean, we have well over 5,000 season tickets for this season, and that's Lega Pro. We have great sponsorships. It's a good region. It's very close to Milan. There's a lot of business. We have a really great team of sponsors that are helping the club. I know it's going to be difficult because of the fact that these clubs traditionally are not run like they run clubs in the U.S. You know, they're just they've always been like social currency.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it, like a consortium of local businessmen with some money would throw money at the club and try to move up. And then once these clubs move up and eventually get a lot more TV money, then they would pull money out of the club. And it was this sort of vicious cycle of, you know, of up and down and inconsistency in management. So, you know, I have a team. I have a great management team. Basically just want to try to bring some stability to the club and say, look, we have to have some discipline because we don't have a lot of TV revenue. If we move up, we'll have more. We'd have to invest accordingly and just have a plan. And personally, I love doing business in Italy. You know, I'm very passionate about the country. As you said, there's challenges, but I know it, you know, it's the right level for me that if for some reason, you know, we're not as successful as we hope, we're going to be able to weather the storm.
Well, you're in the third tier of Italian soccer in the pyramid right now.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you were to get promoted, you would go up to the second and potentially the first. What are your goals and how realistic is that given the financial realities and situation?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a 5-year plan to get back to Serie A. And when I took over the club, I had a meeting with all the staff. And again, there's so many people that are so passionate about the club. And I said, look, if you don't believe we can get to Serie A in 5 years, as the model of clubs like Carpi, Frosinone, mm-hmm. Crotone, clubs that have had that history of moving up, I said, if you don't think we can do this, then I respectfully ask you to leave right now because I don't want you on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's our plan. In that process, I gave myself 2 years to get to Serie B, which obviously would increase the TV revenue significantly.
Right.
But we feel this year we rolled the dice and we spent a little bit more money on the payroll. We're like, if we're going to do it in 2 years, we might as well do it in one. Why can't we do it in one? So we have a good club. You know, I just got back. We had two very frustrating ties. But as I try to tell everyone, hey, any game you leave with a point is a good game rather than a loss. So. Mm-hmm. The cream will rise to the top once the season wears on, it gets past the holidays and in January, then I think that's going to show what kind of club we can have. And if we're going to be able to challenge, to move up.
Well, you said you were this week, over in Italy at a game, it was a 0-0 tie.
Yeah.
We're only 7 games into the season, ever since the first game, you lost the first game, but unbeaten since then, 8th place as of this recording. On October 6th in the league. What's it like for you this week to be on site, to go to a game? What sort of experience do you have? Could you kind of like put us there?
Well, it's nerve-wracking for me because walking out as an owner, you have those same pregame jitters.
Mm-hmm.
But as a player, you could sort of realize that it's up to you. But when you're watching your team and you realize that, I can't kick the ball. I can't make the pass. I can't make the save. It's a little frustrating. And I never realized that as an owner that, it's a whole different energy. It's a whole different, mindset. So it has its challenges, but, it's so much fun too because the fans are, today, I get a lot of people on Facebook, the fans, we're frustrated. This, mm-hmm. I said, and dealing with the media and dealing with those challenges of just having cultural differences in Italy is fun, but exciting, and proud because you have a potential to shape young careers as well. And I told, my players before the season, the opening game, I said, look, this may be not your first team and it may not be your last team, but it's the team I want you to be remembered for. So, we have some good young players. And the other part of this, Grant, is that, in Europe, your youth system is a way that you can really generate revenue for the club,
mm-hmm.
Because the players are assets. They get a player's card as young as 12.
Right.
And if you develop them, we're always looking, for the next Messi or, the next Gigi Riva, or the next Fabrizio Micheli. And if we develop him and he becomes more valuable, then obviously the bigger clubs, will make a play for some of your talent.
Well, one name that does stand out among players, and I, from what I've read, he's out on loan right now, is the Maldini name.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Maldini, son of Paolo. He is out on loan, right?
Yeah, we sent him to Malta, mm-hmm. because we knew that he wasn't going to get a lot of time with us. And my general manager, Maurizio, is very close with his father, Paolo, and he mm-hmm. was all for it. He was actually talking about possibly bringing him to the States because I think mm-hmm. he has a small interest in the Miami football club in the second tier division. And, obviously he wanted him in Europe. And so, through our relationship, we did sign him as a free agent. But he was coming off a knee injury in the Milan system. And, we had a great conversation. We say, hey, look, we want you to play. And so, he's down in Malta now, I think getting some playing time. So yeah, and so we will have him through this year and we'll reevaluate the situation. Hopefully he continues to improve.
So just based on what you were saying earlier, have you given like pep talks in Italian to your team this year?
Yeah, I do.
How does that
work?
Well,
I have my general manager, Maurizio, kind of writes up the script and then I kind of tweak it, you know, because my Italian is improving. I have to learn too that there's little idiosyncrasies. Like I can learn Italian one way. And as you know, language isn't always translatable. So there's little expressions that you have to be careful with. But I'm improving. I hope to be fluent in Italian in about 2 or 3 years where mm-hmm. I can do interviews and things. Aside the point, I have good people around me. And to be honest with you as well, the fans and the media actually like the aura of having an American owner. Mm-hmm. So they actually they're totally fine with me, you know, doing the press conferences in English with a translator.
Okay.
But it's definitely a lot of fun. I got to get you over there. You next time you get to Europe, you got to come by and watch us. We actually play Parma for the first time in 24 years, December 18th. And our fans are already talking about that game. And I'm like, wait a minute, we have a lot of games before that, but it's going to be sold out at My Pace Stadium, about 25,000 people. So
nice.
It's going to be pretty crazy. Yeah. They're already talking about that game, but as an owner and as a player, I'm like, hey, we got a lot of games before that. So, but that'll be a special game.
So how does it work? Because Sassuolo, which is in the top flight
yes.
and has done quite well, is in the stadium that you guys use,
yes.
correct?
True. True. The owner of Sassuolo, Squincy, who's a very, very wealthy man, mm-hmm. he bought the team Sassuolo when they were in the fourth division, which is sort of like the pro amateur division, and invested a lot of money. Mm-hmm. They eventually went to Lega Pro, Serie C, Serie B, and Serie A, and now they're in the Europa League.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a sore subject with our fans because the stadium in Reggiana was actually built for our club, mm-hmm. but it went into receivership after the club was bankrupt in 97. So then Squincy eventually acquired the stadium through an auction. Mm-hmm. And he's very gracious to us, to be honest with you. Our fans are not big Sassuolo fans. It's a huge sore subject.
I can imagine.
And I keep trying to tell them, look, you know, we have to coexist. I said, we need a stadium to play in. So we can't sort of, you know, stoke the fires too much. So I'm being the diplomat, you know, trying to get everyone to get along. And they're like, you know, they want to kill Sassuolo. And they're very sore about it. But, you know, it's a challenge. They just put in a new pitch, actually, a new special grass field, which is pretty amazing. They invested a lot of money. But I tell my fans, look, you have to look at Sassuolo as an example of
right.
what we want to do.
Right.
You know, I may not have the deepest pockets as Squincy or MyPay because he owns MyPay. I think it's a paint and chemical company, and it's mm-hmm. one of the most successful companies in Europe, in the world, actually, has plants all over the world. So, mm-hmm. you know, even though it is a little difficult, he's been very gracious to us. He gives us a good rent, lease terms for the stadium. So I hope, you know, to continue the partnership kind of under the radar a little bit, mm-hmm. a little bit, and let the fans continue to have passion for the club.
Yeah, makes sense. Before our interview, I'd actually talked to Charlie Stilettano, who uh-huh. is, you know, the American, I think, is probably best connected in European soccer. Charlie's got an Italian background, knows a lot of people over in Italy. And he mentioned that it was important to you to go about doing things the right way, as he put it, as an owner in Italy. And in just wanting to be viewed as someone who is very serious about what you're doing as an owner there. I assume that's accurate.
Yeah, no, he's correct. And by the right way, I think it's just being smart and having a market discipline mm-hmm. and trying to build the club organically, you know, from the ground up and be strategic about where we invest our money. I mean, again, mm-hmm. if I, for example, you know, our payroll without being specific this year is significant mm-hmm. as far as Lega Pro and our division. You know, I think Venezia and Parma are kind of two of the teams of Venice, I should say, and Parma are the two teams that are close as far as payroll. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, if I were to invest a lot of money in the payroll and for some reason we don't go up, now we're going to have a huge operating loss.
Right.
So, you know, to tell the fans, you know, that, you know, a wealthy, you know, ex-major leaguer that, you know, I have to be disciplined and not spend money is tough because they're like, we don't care. We just want to win. So, dealing with those aspects. But I, you know, when I have my press conferences and I talk to all the groups, I said, look, we have to have a long-term vision with short-term needs. And so, you know, we've invested a lot of money in the youth this year, you know, close to $1 million.
Wow.
To try to, you know, we had like 14 teams and, you know, the Primavera division, which was, you know, would be our quote unquote minor league team, I guess, for lack of a better, you know, visual for fans. And that's important. So, you know, we want to be a stable for the community. We're working on plans for our Centro Sportivo, which is a sports center, which there's 9 fields. And we have plans of developing it and making that a first-class facility. With that said, it takes time. It takes money. So, you know, we have to build a good business model. And, you know, the culture in Italy is just not used to that approach. So it's taking some arm bending a little, but, you know, I really enjoy the challenge and I enjoy spending time over there. My family loves it. My kids love it. So, you know, it's going to be a long-term project.
You know, we have in North America, some guys who are involved in ownership over in Italy. I'm thinking of Joey Saputo, who owns Bologna. I'm thinking of,
Jim Pelota.
Yeah.
Who I play golf with actually in Florida. Occasionally.
Nice. I was going to ask, I mean, like, you know, these guys who are owners, you know, Joe Tacopino owns Venezia now.
Yeah.
Have you been in contact with these guys to try and get a sense of what it's like to be an owner over there?
Yeah, I've played golf with Jim a few times down in Florida, and obviously him being from Boston as well. You know, he knows the sports business. I believe he was involved with the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
I think what he's done in Rome has been, you know, nothing short of astounding. I mean, he got the club for a great deal. I mean, considering now that, you know, Milan's valued at $1 billion,
mm-hmm.
I think he bought Roma, you know, a lot less for that, and obviously had a lot of debt on the club. But and he's trying to build a stadium in Rome, which is a whole another challenge.
Yeah,
I said to him, I go, dude, I do not envy you at all, because that is a real challenge dealing with the Italians when it's trying to build something in Rome. You put one shovel in the ground, they'll stop you, because if you find an artifact or something. So it's a real challenge. And of course, Northern Italy and Southern Italy are almost like two different countries. You know, that's why strategically I decided to be in Emilia Romagna, which is a great region, a lot of business. And it's tougher to do business in the South because it's more agrarian, more agricultural, you know, different and tougher to get to, you know, for Americans and for business. But, you know, Rome obviously is Rome. So I think Jim did a great job there. And Joe is doing what, you know, we're trying to do in Venezia. And he has his challenges because he doesn't have a great stadium. Even though I lease my stadium, his stadium is woefully inadequate for Serie B. So if he does move up, he's going to have to probably play in Padua, which, you know, is what's happening now with Crotone. They have to play in Pescara.
Okay.
So can you imagine your fans having to drive 2 hours to watch a game?
Yeah.
It's tough. So Crotone is off to a tough start in Serie A, and they went up and they just weren't prepared. And I tell my fans, you know, we can go up, but we have to be prepared to go up.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to put all these pieces in place that if we go up, we just don't do that bounce right back down.
Right. So when you're not on site, how are you able to watch your team play, or are you able to?
Well, I do. There's a great internet streaming service called SportTube TV.
Okay.
And you can go on there, and they have other sports besides Lega Pro, but they have the Lega Pro channel and they have highlights and they have replays and they show the fan. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's crazy. And that's another reason why I decided to make the investment, because, you know, with all these media rights and streaming and all these things coming into it, you know, I think it's only going to continue to improve. And SportTube has a huge subscription in Italy.
Okay.
You know, these smaller teams are very, very popular in their regions, and they get a lot of fan support. So, you know, that's and Italy as well. You know, you don't have the major sports to contend with. You don't have American football, American basketball, hockey, or baseball. You know, it's just pretty much soccer in Italy and a little bit of basketball and some other smaller sports. But, you know, I always say, you know, Italian soccer is kind of like a natural resource. You know, you just have to mine it, refine it, and hopefully, you know, market the product well.
So do you have any good stories about interactions with fans? at this point?
The fans just trying to survive after a bad game. Yeah, you know, they're amazing. I got to tell you something about the fans over there is they're almost part of the club. I mean, they mm-hmm. are part of the club. I mean, when we have press conferences and or strategy sessions, I actually have a representative from the ultras. There's three groups. One of them is called Facce Regia. One of them is called Gruppo Vendelli. Mm-hmm. And another one is called Teste Quadra. And the unofficial nickname for the team is called Teste Quadra. It means squareheads.
Okay.
And don't ask me. I mean, it really means that the region is a region of like a blue collar, you know, okay. hardworking people. It's not translatable in English, but their nickname is called Teste Quadra. But the point is, you know, they're part of the team mm-hmm. and they want to know exactly what your strategy is. And you have to be accountable to them because if you lose their support, you know what I mean? You lose them. You're really in trouble. You have to have them on board, and they criticize obviously after tough games, but for the most part, it's just in their blood. So it's a little bit different business model than in the States, you know, but it's very fun, and very challenging. I mean, you know, I show up at the game and they're giving me, you know, prosciutto and mortadella and formaggio and all these, you know, gifts and stuff. So it's definitely a grassroots business that you have to, and you have to be on the ground. I mean, you know, when I watch the game, I'm actually relaxed, but before mm-hmm. the game, meeting all the sponsors and the fans, and, you know, it's a challenge. And as a player, for me, it's a unique challenge because I have a new respect for owners of clubs because right. you're watching every line item on the budget. You're worried about payroll. You're worried about just the lights at the stadium, you know, mm-hmm. things like that, because you're paying attention to things that, for me, I never really fathomed when I was a player.
Well, this is great stuff. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to the podcast. Mike Piazza, good luck. I will be thinking of the squareheads at Reggiana much more often now.
Okay, you too. And in Italian, and good luck, it means the mouth of the wolf. We say in bocca al lupo.
Bocca al lupo. All right. Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Ciao, Grant. God bless.
Do you know about the Locked On Podcast Network? The number one daily sports podcast network. Locked On has a daily podcast on every NBA and NFL team, plus a growing lineup of college and MLB teams. You get a daily bite-sized podcast giving you the latest on your team from the local experts. Lakers fans, search Locked On Lakers. Cowboys fans, search Locked On Cowboys. Just search Locked On, your favorite team, on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.